ever wondered what it would be like to feel peaceful around food and weight and not be searching constantly for the answer, to be like at your ideal weight and actually free from that diet culture mindset? Well, in this episode, I'm going to share exactly what that's like for me. Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Okay, so welcome to Joyful Eating, episode number 156. So before we get to this week's episode, I'm just going to share my best bite. So yesterday for lunch, I actually taught my 21-day competent cook class. And so as a class, we made a magic meal together. So it was shredded cabbage just from the supermarket, just in a bag. And then I had some tofu that I'd tossed in with some chili salt and put that on top, and then drizzled it with some pesto. And then I finished it with some pistachio dakka, which is like this Middle Eastern blend of like pistachios and spices and stuff. And I would never have thought to put like pesto and dakka together, but I got my students to help me I crowdsourced my lunch basically. And yeah, it was so delicious. I was like, why wouldn't I have thought of that? Anyway, so that was really fun. Let's dive into the episode. So in this episode, you're going to discover, first, we're going to talk about just the story behind this episode. Of course, I like to give you a bit of a background between how my brain works. Then I wanted to share with you my mom's story about being naturally healthy. And then I'm going to share with you, didn't count. So it's probably about 10 things that I love about being naturally healthy. And then we're going to finish off with a special invitation for you. So hang around for that. So the story behind this episode is basically recently my Irishwoman was cleaning out the shelf on our pantry where we keep all the wine. Okay, that's right, because I was making vinegar. So I asked him, like, what can we get rid of these half-empty bottles here? And yeah, he actually found a jar that I keep and that I've had for years and years of like the last jam, plum jam that my mom made. And it's got her writing on like this label and it's this little jar. And so I've just been thinking about my mom a lot lately after finding that, and thinking about just like how lucky I was to grow up with a mother who wasn't a dieter, like who wasn't in that diet culture. Someone who was like really happy with her weight, who didn't struggle with her weight, who was just like, who was the original naturally healthy person. So that's why I was like, oh, it would be nice to do an episode about my mom, June. And so basically my mom's story, like it's pretty interesting because she grew up, her dad died when she was young, like 10 or 11. And her mother was actually someone who did struggle with their weight. So her mother was actually like a really tall lady. She was like 6 foot, back in the day, my grandmother. And when, you know, not many women would be that tall, and she was always like a big lady. And so it was interesting that my mom, like, she grew up in a household where like there wasn't a healthy relationship with food, but she managed to just create it for herself. And so how she modeled like healthy eating to us, and that, like, this wasn't like she was doing it as a project to raise healthy kids. It was just like, this is just who she was. So who she was someone who had proper meals. So she wouldn't be like skipping breakfast or having shakes or whatever. She would you know, make time to have breakfast for herself. She would make time to have lunch, might often have it like a snack in the afternoon, and then she'd have dinner. And she always, like, even though she had 5 children and she was raising us, like, she always made sure that she prioritized herself. Like, she wouldn't like make food for us and then not give herself something you know, delicious. She would make food for all of us. And one thing that when I was thinking about this, that she always, and she loved to bake. So she would, like, every afternoon when we came home from school, there would always be like, you know, lamingtons, which are these like cakes we have in Australia, like a kind of pound cake, plain cake that's covered in chocolate frosting and then sprinkled with coconut. It's like quintessentially Australian, so good. Or there'd be like cookies or some sort of, we call them biscuit, and most often there'd be like a cake or cupcakes or a slice or something like that. So she was always baking. And I remember her like always saying to me, like, good cooks don't lick their fingers. And she was it, like, totally. She would never be like licking the beef. Like, she would give them to us but I never would see her like dipping into the mixture or whatever. She would like wait and then she would have it and she would, yeah, have it with a cup of tea and sit down and have one piece, but she wasn't ever like binging on cake. Like she was just eating it in a really normal, like normal way. So yes, good cooks don't like lick their fingers. I still think about that when I'm baking. She loved desserts. She loved cream. Like one of her favorite things was like double cream. And she would always be told, like when we were going out for dinner or something, she would look at the dessert. She was one of those people who would look at the dessert menu first and decide what she was having for dessert before she chose her main course. But then she would talk about like saving space for dessert as well. So if she was getting full, she'd leave food on her plate because, you know, that we have this amazing dessert coming afterwards. I didn't ever have a conversation with her around this, and I wish that she was around that so that I could. But yeah, like I think like she would just naturally like listen to her body, and like she would like when she felt satisfied, she would leave food. But most of the time, I think she served herself an appropriate size, so she didn't like she cleaned her plate most of the time. And she would snack. Like I would remember her like when we came home from afternoon tea, like she would either have something with us or she might have, you know, cheese and crackers or, you know, tomato and cheese and crackers, you know, with a cup of tea. And the other thing was that she would always serve food out. Like you'd never see her walking past the pantry, like grabbing a handful of nuts or grabbing a handful of raisins or whatever. She would, like, if she was going to eat, she would sit down and food would be served out on a plate. Like you would never see my mom standing in with the fridge open, like grabbing stuff, like fridge foraging. Like she would, like, because she wouldn't need to, because if she was going to eat food, she would serve it out, she would eat it, enjoy it, and then move on with her day. And she would never be like walking around eating. And I remember her, like when we would be in town somewhere, a local town, because we lived out in the country. And, you know, if someone, like you'd see people walking down the street eating donuts or whatever. And I remember my mom commenting on that, like, can't believe people walk around eating food that's like, it's going to create a mess. And just, it was totally against her religion to do that. Like she would, if she was eating, it was an occasion. And yeah, but not in a like, you know, like negative way, just in this, like, that's just how she was. And yeah, so there was never any eating in front of the TV. Oh, maybe sometimes occasionally you might have ice cream while we were watching something, but in front of the TV, I'm actually thinking now, like dessert, but mostly it was like, we would definitely all out, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner were either in the kitchen bench or in the dining room. And yeah, her snacks, afternoon tea would be at the kitchen bench. So like pretty much most of the time we would be eating without distractions. So that was my mom's story. So that's what I grew up with. And so, you know, growing up, I didn't question. I just thought that that's how you ate. And then of course I went on a journey of like learning how to not to do that and learning a lot of bad habits. But fortunately, I, you know, over the years, have come back to being naturally healthy myself and to have realizing that actually what my mum was doing is the right way, is such a good way to be, like, because it's like you, when you're intentional with food in the way that my mum was, you get to be in this sweet spot where you get to enjoy all the food that you love, where it's not restrictive. There's not like, you get to have desserts, you get to have whatever you love. And your weight's not a problem. Like it's just, you find this balance. And it really just comes down to like, my mom was just really intentional about food and, you know, really calm, like this is just who she was kind of thing. And so it took me quite a few decades to get there, but I eventually did get back to being like my mom and being like someone who does set intentions of like, when I am baking, I think to myself, like I have a little chuckle to myself and think like, good cooks don't lick their fingers on it. Now I like will set an intention to not be like scooping down up the mixture and and licking my fingers and being gross, like so that I can be like my mom. And so also then I can have that self-trust. So yeah, let's go through and I'll share my, I think it's 10 things I can't quite count that I love about being naturally healthy. So the first thing that I've written here is I just love that feeling of being in integrity and being congruent. So because I'm a huge food lover, I love reading cookbooks, like, and it's like food is my life. There used to be in the past, like that a bit of a incongruence, so like a bit of a tension, because on one hand I would love food so much, but then I would be not treating food with the respect that it's due. And I was, you know, I was struggling with my weight and it didn't feel good. Like it felt like this constant battle. So it was like, I love this thing, but then it's also causing me so much grief. And so now I have like, because I'm like, at, like my weight is not a problem and I'm eating in a way that feels really good for me and congruent, It just, that feels so good. And like, I'm not feeling like a fraud anymore when I turn up to talk about food, because it brings me so much joy these days. And very occasionally I'll overeat and there'll be some pain, but most of the time it feels easy and good. Next thing is, I love that, one thing I love about being naturally healthy is like feeling in control of what I eat and being in control of my weight. So, and also like this sense of control, it's also really beautiful, because I used to be looking at looking for the I used to read all the diet books, and I used to be looking for the next thing of like the magic like formula that was going to help me in my relationship with food and my body. And it was so confusing because there were so many conflicting messages. So now like I feel in control, because I know that I'm in charge of what I'm eating, and that feels good. And also that I can trust my own instincts to know like if food feels good to me or not. And so I'm not looking for that magic bullet anymore. I'm not looking to external. I'm like just looking, letting my body guide me on what feels good to me. So it's like recently I decided, well, not recently, probably a couple year ago, maybe more, I decided to start eating tofu because it's a great source of protein. And I actually really love tofu. Like when it's prepared properly, it's seasoned properly, it's actually can be really delicious. I love that chewy texture. And like I had stopped eating soy or tofu because, you know, some paleo expert had said that soy was bad because it's a legume or like whatever. And I was like, no, I'm just going to experiment and see how it feels in my body. And I actually feel really good. Like, and particularly because I'm in that age of like navigating some hormone changes, shall we say. And I'm finding that like including tofu and having it on a fairly regular basis is actually helping with that. And so that's just an example of how this feeling of like control and not being confused and being looking for external messages, it just feels so good to know that actually, I can trust myself to know what feels good for me. Just a quick break to say thank you for listening to Joyful Eating. I don't run ads on the podcast, so the only way this podcast grows is by word of mouth. So if you've received value from my work, I'd be so grateful if you took a few seconds to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. I appreciate you. Now back to the show. Okay, third thing that I do is like, I love being naturally healthy because I love eating the food that I eat every single day. Like I'm always excited about my meals. Like, and I love food. I'm never eating something because it's healthy and I should be having it. I'm only eating food that I love. Like there is no like meals that I don't love. So that's, yeah, of course. And so, yeah, like just the flavor and the deliciousness is so, so good, that pleasure. I love feeling good in my clothes. Like, and I love, like, and I love my wardrobe. Like when I go to get dressed, like my only problem is like, it's like too many options. But yeah, like I never have to, when I'm never looking or thinking about what am I going to wear and thinking, oh, will I fit into it or whatever? Like I know that I will. And I've got clothes that I bought, you know, over 10 years ago that still fit me. Like I've got this beautiful silk shirt that I bought in New York in 2011 and I still wear it all the time and it still fits. And it's like, I don't ever worry about buying clothes. Or I never like buy clothes thinking, oh, I'll fit into it later. Like it's just like I buy what fits now and I know like I have that confidence that it's going to fit me. It's going to last for a long time. So it's kind of nice that I can invest in pieces that are good quality because I know that they're going to fit me. So that feels really nice. And I love food, but I also do love fashion and I do love clothes. So that's really fun. I love feeling free to travel and not being ever worried about gaining weight because I'm traveling. Like that's so amazing that I can go on trips and eat out every meal for whatever and come home the same weight. Like that feels amazing to have that experience. It feels so good to be able to trust myself. And like I mentioned, like being able to bake with sugar and flour and all this stuff, like after having some years of using all the kind of sugar substitutes, which, you know, there are some okay options, but it's never as good as the real thing. So being able to bake with sugar is so fun. And I make ice cream every week, like with real sugar. It's really fun. And also, you know, being able to manage my diabetes because I know that I can keep my quantities right. And I have started taking diabetes medication. That's another story for another day. I also love about being naturally healthy is having a healthy relationship with alcohol. So having gone from being a winemaker who really struggled to with like drinking too much to being someone who naturally, like I usually have like 2 or 3 glasses a week because that's all I want. Like it's so, it's still so wild to me that's the case. But yeah. And the other beautiful part about having a healthy relationship with alcohol is now that like I only drink the best. So like it's like if I'm having champagne, I'm having the real stuff. Like I'm not ordering like some dodgy sparkling wine because like if I'm only going to have one glass, I want it to be good. And also like the amount of money that I spend on like alcohol now compared to what I used to spend is like a fraction. So it's like I can afford to get the good stuff. I love being a great role model for my children. Like that is something that feels really good. It's like I know that I'm passing on good eating habits to them. And it's interesting, like one of my kids was getting a bit pudgy and was getting teased at school about weight. And so we were able to have a really great conversation around it. And yeah, like he's actually taken on some things of like and been able to change what he's been doing because he wants to. And I haven't pushed anything on him. Like I think he's amazing how he is. So like I definitely wasn't forcing that, but he was curious. And so I just, we had some conversations around listening to our bodies and saving space for dessert and those types of things. And yeah, like he's been doing that and he's feeling more in control. And yeah, so it's been actually really nice to have that connection of and being able to help him in and help him feel really empowered so that they're learning how to trust themselves around food and to have these healthy habits so that when they get to be teenagers and they're young adults, like they'll be able to do this on their own. Like they'll be able to listen to their bodies and be intentional around food on their own. So that feels really nice. I love feeling confident in myself, like because it's amazing. Like when you feel good in your body and you're feeling good in your clothes, it really does have an impact on how you show up in the world. And like I in some ways, I kind of wish that wasn't true, but it is. Like if you're not feeling good in your body, like just your energy levels and feeling good about how you look, it's like it makes it harder. Whereas when I am feeling good in my clothes and I am feeling good in my body, that confidence comes across and it like gives me the, like makes it easier for me to be in the world and to be the person that I want to be. And then my final one thing I love about being naturally healthy is like, I love being fit and strong and full of vitality. And I love this idea that I have this goal to live till I'm 122. And I'm actually like, as I'm working towards that, like feeling stronger and building my muscles, and it feels really nice to have that energy and to be able to keep up with my kids. And like we had a project over the summer holidays here to ride our bikes, and being able to keep, like I do go a lot slower than them because I'm scared about crashing, but it's not because of my fitness levels. Like I can beat them up the hills. And so that feels really good to feel strong and youthful in that way, like, and know that, yeah, like I am doing the best that I can with my fitness is really great. So that's just a few of the things. No, that's most of the things that I love about being naturally healthy. So yeah, like if you've been listening to this and you're like, Jules, this sounds amazing. I really want my life to be like this. I want to be a naturally healthy person. Then I invite you to join my Naturally Healthy Club. So all you need to do, the applications are now open. So just go to thestonesoup.com. I'll put the link in the show notes and get your application in. So the last group sold out, so don't mess around. But I just want you to know that this is possible for you. And so all you need to do is just take that first step and I'll take care of the rest. But if you are thinking, oh, it sounds amazing, I would love that, but you have doubts that it's possible for you for whatever reason, and you're like, you're afraid of taking that step because you're lacking that self-belief that you can change, and because you're worried because you've had so many times where you've tried and failed in the past to do something with your weight, I just want you to know that it's totally normal to feel that doubt. And pretty much everyone that I work with in the beginning feels that doubt. And if you're not, don't feel like comfortable getting an application in, then I'd invite you to send me an email and let me know about your story. And I'd love to set up some time to chat with you, because in that way, I think that's the best way to help you, like to make an informed decision. Really, I can explain what's going on. You can tell me about your situation, and then together we could decide whether we would be a good fit to work together. So be totally no pressure. So yeah, I'll put the my email address in the show notes, but it's jules@thestonesoup.com. And I would really love to hear from you and like set up some time to have a chat. Okay. Hope you found that helpful. And I look forward to, I look forward to hearing from you or seeing your application. Okay. Talk soon. Bye.
Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup, 6 Ingredients, 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious, they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.